At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Before we get started today, we want to remind you guys about our friend Dave from Magnolia Admissions. Magnolia Admissions offers coaching on the college and law school application process, from mock interviews to help with personal statements. Dave runs Magnolia Admissions, and he graduated from an Ivy League school, conducted admission interviews for over 15 years, and has reviewed thousands of applications as an admissions committee member. So make sure your loved ones don't turn into AWOD. Visit Magnolia Admissions and mention Bit Season. Very important. Mention Bit Season when you go to magnoliaadmissions.com for a listener discount. All right, guys. Good to be back on Bit Season, and here we go.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive, Bit Season, couple of regular guys, it's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh, it's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 22. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Hope you everybody is having a great week, as we are on the Junkies.
Mm-hmm. You know, Drabby, I look forward to Thursdays, because I was having a down week.
You were having a down week.
I know. I was being a Debbie Downer.
Valdez was telling me he's going to go pour beers in South Carolina a couple times this week.
Yeah, I was saying that, talking about my beach bar was going to open up.
All right. Yeah.
But when Thursday comes rolling around, it puts a smile on my face.
You know what? You're right, man. It must be Bit Season, because nothing else today really jumped out at us that would have changed your mood, because the last 2 days you were in kind of a...
I was being a grumpy pants.
You were Donald Grump, as the junks like to say, and... Here we are, Thursday. You got a little pep in your step, and you're loving the show again.
I'm back in.
You're back in.
Yeah.
Now, there was one incident earlier in the week where Valdez was upset because Cakes started the Sleep Number ad, and then nobody else was paying attention, and they didn't have it, and so Cakes did the whole thing himself.
Well, no, Cakes doesn't use, this tilts me, Cakes doesn't use his the read that I give him.
Yeah, he does.
He has like his own thing that he does.
But
I didn't realize that.
But the sleep number read is always split in half.
Right.
And whoever was doing it,
I don't know,
next,
misplaced it. It wasn't
lost
there.
Lost it.
There's a possibility that I didn't hand out the sleep number, but I find that hard to believe.
And so Jason, like, I don't know, tossed papers in the air or something like that, and he didn't have it.
Being all pissy.
So, Valdez, it's good to have him back in a good mood.
I'm in a good mood.
Drab, you know, I'm calm, cool,
even,
and collected.
Even Steven.
Even Steven, I'm always the same. You can't stay in medium, as the great Jim Zorn likes to say.
Medium.
Hey, we had a lot going on this week. A lot of non-sports. We told you it was the official launch of Bit Season.
I know, we really went into high gear.
We did. I mean, you have 3-4 segments in a row this week where there's no sports being discussed. It got away from us a little bit, but it was fun.
I like it.
It was fun. What's the first and big non-sports segment that jumps out at you this week?
Just the amount of dip talk.
So much dip talk. Do you think the listeners are enjoying the dip talk?
I'm not sure.
It's so random, and it's bleeding into other segments.
It's very theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of... I'm trying to figure out a way to get listeners involved in it instead of just hearing us critique everyone's dip.
Well, I know the listeners at the beginning must have been thinking about their own favorite recipes, what dips they would bring to a party.
This is why it kind of hits, I feel like. It's because everyone has a dip that they can bring to a party,
mm-hmm.
or if they're hosting a party that they can make, that they feel like they're swinging for the fences when they make it. So I think that's why it kind of hits home and resonates with people.
I can tell I'm ready for a hot dip.
I know. I am too. Cold dips, hot dip, greater than sign, cold dip.
To recap, so far this week, it got all started because Valdez brought in the crab dip to the studio last week.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we need your official review of that because it was kind of just glossed over.
It was a little bit glossed over. Now, here's the problem. I'm not a big crab guy.
Right.
And you knew this going in.
Yes.
Now, I'll say this. I enjoyed the dip.
I made it because this is the Valdez family wheelhouse dip, go-to dip. This is made for every Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
This is made for every Christmas party, anything. Crab dip is made. Sometimes my mom will make 2 trays.
Hey, by the way, we've been giving rookie scores all week, as Portnoy likes to say, on with these 1 out of 10 scales.
Uh-huh. By the way, we're all in secret cahoots that we're going to trash EB's pizza dip that he loves so fondly.
Well,
right?
We'll get to that. So I gave the clam dip a 7. I gave the shrimp dip a 5. I am going to I'm going to give the crab dip from Valdez a 7.1.
All right.
Okay. So it's the best dip so far, but it's barely better than Cakes's.
Right.
But here's the thing. I liked Cakes's clam dip. Nobody else was.
No, I liked it too. But
I was licking the plate when nobody was looking.
I was deducting points because it had the tiniest of clam chunks. It needed more clam because the consistency of the chewy clam
mm-hmm.
would work so well in that dip. I feel like
it tasted like something you would get from the store. You know, like a packaged dip.
Well, it tasted like hell of a good French onion dip.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And just poured a jar of clams in it. It's actually quite trash.
Wait. I thought he just had French onion dip seasoning and then...
No. He bought hell of a good French onion dip and poured a jar of clams.
No, wait, hold on. That's all he did?
Yes, he bought French onion dip.
No, I thought he made the French onion dip himself.
I thought he
was hyping up hell of a good dip.
I thought he bought the French onion dip.
No, I don't think so. I think he...
How do you make French onion dip?
First of all,
have a packet?
Hold on. Cakes...
No. Cakes didn't make it.
Then that's... that he's stealing.
Right.
He's intellectual
property.
That's like ordering Papa John's and then sprinkling Parmesan cheese on it and then saying that's your homemade pizza.
I made the dough and everything.
There's no chance that was a store-bought hell of a good dip.
Hold on. Can we call him on air?
I'm going to call Cakes right now because I think that was just EB saying that.
Right.
I'll put him on speakerphone too.
All right. No, riveting.
It's going to distract.
Cakes will never answer his phone.
Oh, yeah. He's probably napping.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Cakes, you're on the air on Bit Season.
Hey,
I got a question for you.
This is a big question, Cakes.
There's a little bit of controversy. For your clam dip, was that made from scratch, or did you buy hell of a good dip and just put clams into it?
That was somewhere from...
Is he running?
I'm struggling a little bit. No.
It takes us on a run.
Store-bought, not even hell of a good. Harris Teeter, generic French onion dip.
Wait, so your famous dip, Cakes, your famous dip is just French, like store-bought French onion dip, and all you did was put clams in it.
Let's rewind. I never claimed it was famous. I claimed it was a dumb version of my brother-in-law's silly version.
Oh my god!
He sounds so winded.
All right, Cakes. All right. You know what? That's perfect. I thank you for clearing that up. I feel like an idiot. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, see you tomorrow, Cakes.
Well, I guess there you have it. Maybe I just missed that on the show this week. I never thought in a million years.
Well, remember when you said, "Well, Cakes, how do you make it?" And he goes, "I take a big bowl of French onion dip, put it in a bowl, and then put the clams in."
Oh, I just thought it was like he bought the French onion packet.
No, no. So I
mixed it with some sour cream and some other things. So squeezed the lemon.
When he said that, I assumed he just took it out of a jar.
Well, Cakes is eliminated then. He's eliminated from the appetizer rankings.
Not only is it Nubby Harris Teeter French onion dip, he doesn't use a real lemon for the lemon juice. He said he uses the bottle for the juice.
Oh, you know what, Cakes?
that is white trash.
I had no idea. Maybe I'm the only one that didn't pick up on that.
That is so white trash.
Because I would never think to be brag about your dip that you had. And it was 99% of the ingredients came prepackaged.
All right. So, well, number one, he calls it like his brother makes it. It's like his famous Allville family.
You know, why don't we have Mark Allville come in here and make the dip?
Right. Do you think he pours a jar of it out, or is the Cakes just cutting corners?
No, it sounds like his brother, whatever
his
name is.
We'll make the real French.
Makes Ross. It from scratch. Yeah, Ross. I think he's got two brothers, doesn't he?
Yes.
I think maybe one's name is Mark.
Have you figured out what your dish is going to be?
Well, here's the thing. So far, we're on a dip run. We got the crab dip. We got the clam dip. We got the shrimp dip. And we got a pepperoni dip coming now.
Yeah, pizza dip.
I feel like I have to make a dip.
I know. So do I.
But I'm not bragging about my dips. Everyone else here is bragging about their dips. I don't brag. I don't have any dips.
Well, you do world famous nachos.
Those are only world famous to me. They're nubs. They're microwave nachos.
Well, that's
if we do the redneck meal thing. That's what I'm waiting for.
Okay.
Because that would fit into Jason's hot dog casserole.
Right.
I was gonna make the Frito Bandito. EB was gonna make
his asparagus.
Asparagus, prosciutto asparagus. And what was your redneck meal?
I'm still thinking about it.
Still thinking about
because,
it.
Maybe something with ramen.
JP definitely doesn't have a dip.
JP's just a taste tester.
He's a taste tester. You know what? I could talk about JP for an hour. I really could. And his machismo. My word of the week is machismo.
I know.
Yeah, and he did. He ricked me this week bragging about how he doesn't cook anything for his family.
It's a weird thing to be on your high horse about, isn't it?
It's very strange.
Do you really think he's bragging about it, or he's just telling everybody that he doesn't?
Wouldn't
you say it sheepishly? Just like,
well, I'd be embarrassed. Because what's one thing? Okay, so most guys, you'd say, don't like old school stereotype. Don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, right?
Right.
But what is the man? What is a man the king of?
The king of his castle.
Well, that
King
too.
Of
the grill.
Oh, yeah. Grill master.
The grill master. Okay, the master. You're right.
Yeah, grill master. Every guy knows how to grill a piece of meat.
JP doesn't want to take any pride in grilling steaks. He's never grilled steaks.
Yeah, there's nothing more manly than grilling a piece of beef.
That is mind-boggling.
Or smoking meat.
Yeah. That's just oozing testosterone.
Yes.
Having smoke and fire.
Miller Lite.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. So he thinks it's cool, and I know JP. He thinks it's cool. He thinks he's the man because he gets to sit back and have his wife or his mommy.
He's being pampered.
He's being pampered, and it goes back to his mom. That's my belief, JP, if you hear this. This is Drab speaking, because your mom babied you your entire life. Right? He's a mama's boy. Is he not a mama's boy? He was a mama's boy. He always talks about how he goes over and she makes him all these meals and makes the brownies for everybody in the neighborhood.
You know, that's a great point.
Okay. And every time he come over, she would have dessert ready for him. He likes to be catered to. So he can't possibly lift a finger to prepare food for the family.
Yeah, but why would you brag about that?
I don't know. It seems so weird. I would be embarrassed at this point.
But I'm not really sure he's bragging about it. You think that that's the undertone that he has?
Right. And, I mean, at one point, JP, he was single, right? So he had to have cooked for himself at some point. JP went through a divorce. Everybody knows that. At some point, he had to have been spending nights by himself cooking something, right? Unless he was eating out every single night.
See, this is what I don't understand.
Which is possible, because he says he's never cooked an egg. I don't know how that's possible.
Well, number one, like, how do you not know how to cook an egg?
I'm sure I could figure it out. You said, could you hard boil an egg? He said, I'm sure I could figure it out.
He doesn't know how many minutes to boil it. He doesn't know if you put vinegar in the water, it makes it easier to peel.
Silly. No, I don't like hard-boiled eggs, so, and to be honest, I don't know if I even know how to hard-boil an egg.
it's the easiest thing in the world.
You get the little, the old-school 80s...
egg timer.
Egg timer thing, yeah. No, I know. You put them in a pot, you boil the water, you put ice in it or something, you put them in an ice bowl afterwards, something like that. I could figure it out. Okay. I sound like JP. I could figure it out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm not some master chef at all either, believe me. I enjoy, first of all, I spend a lot of time watching cooking videos on YouTube because it just looks like it's easier to watch it than to prepare it all for yourself. Well, because, but I get excited about the...
This is what I don't understand is, don't you have like, if you're JP, if you're anyone, don't you have a thirst for knowledge? Like, don't you want to learn how to do something?
Of course. It's something, a conversation piece.
Yeah. And then also, like, is family tradition?
Yeah,
it doesn't. Don't you think that has something to do with it?
That his mom and all her Puerto Rican recipes.
Yeah, like wouldn't it be nice if like you could make the same dessert that the same brownies that your mom made that you could make for Isabella? That's what I don't understand. Like, why are you so adverse?
Hey,
you could make some great bonding moments.
JP, his lineage comes from two of the best cuisine countries in the world.
Italy and Puerto Rico,
okay? And he refuses to learn any of that?
Yeah.
To carry that on, those traditions?
Like he said, I think he said, I love it when my mom makes empanadas for me.
Right? Or he said, if anybody wants to make empanadas for me, I'll eat them.
Right. So obviously his mom makes made some banging empanadas.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to have that secret recipe do it with your sons and daughters and everything?
I think he wants his wife to do it, or, you know, what about the fact, and this is me speculating, that JP's the breadwinner in the house. Right?
I think that has something to do with
it, too.
Did JP's mom work? She worked, right? Didn't she work for the Census Bureau?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, you're right.
So it's not like...
Maybe, that's not my, it's not my you're top just, theory.
You're just spitballing.
No. I
see. I definitely think that might have something to do with it, where it's, it's not my job to do this because my job is to bring home the bacon.
Okay. So I have twin girls. They're about 16 months old right now.
Mm-hmm.
My wife can't possibly prepare every meal, right? We take turns. She's out doing stuff or, you know, she might be resting and it's my turn. You can't just cook waffles and frozen pancakes. Not cook waffles, excuse me. Toast Eggo waffles. You got to, you know, these girls got to eat something healthy. I gotta cook them an egg. We got to...
you can't just shove processed frozen foods
right. Here's some green beans and some carrots. Let me cut up these real small. Uh-huh. Some little tiny things.
Piece of chicken.
Let me put this in the oven. Cut it up. It's easy. I don't understand how he could possibly go through all these years and not ever make something for his kid. And that's also what I said on the air. No wonder Dylan is as only he's one item off the kids menu, and he's 15 years old. Yeah.
Do you think JP does any of the grocery shopping?
No.
So like he would just get lost in the giant if you went.
He probably has no idea how to do that. Have you ever heard him talk about going to the grocery store?
No, I haven't. But I was just putting two and two together, never. Saying, well, if JP doesn't cook, how could he possibly go to the store and you know, load up on the supplies and get all everything he needs?
But what about when his wife works, right?
Right.
Jess works. She's a fitness instructor. What happened when she's at work, say on a Saturday, she's teaching a class.
Yeah, say she has a class at six to eight.
And he's hungry for dinner or lunch. Well, I don't understand. What is he eating? You got to make yourself something.
He's stopping. That's when he goes to the Subway, or that's when he goes to the poorhouse. I have to see your poorhouse again.
Very strange to me. And yes, I did. He came in during the break and he was like,
was he defending him? He was defending himself.
Well, he was defending himself and defensive. And he goes, did you really go home and tell your wife about that? And you thought about it all day? I'm like, well, first off, JP, we're doing a fun radio show here. Like some of the things.
He takes everything so literally.
So literal on the show. Did I tell my wife? Yeah, I did actually tell my wife. But it's not like I went home and said, you won't believe what happened today. We were just talking about the show.
It was something that stuck out in your mind
just
from
stuck
the show.
Out. Yeah, and I thought it was somewhat humorous and strange that a 50-year-old man was bragging about never lifting his finger in the kitchen. Also, what about the fact that all the stud celebrity chefs are guys?
That's a great point.
That was glossed over. All of them. I mean, none. I mean, there's famous. I mean, yeah, clearly, I mean, Rachel Ray and Martha Stewart. But there's tons of studs.
Who was the racist one? Paula Deen.
Paula Deen, the barefoot Contessa is out there.
Kat Cora. She's on Iron Chef.
Right. But a ton of male chefs or celebrity chefs are guys. Mm-hmm. And when I watch those guys, I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could be Mario Batali.
I don't think cooking is feminine. And I think for some reason that's what JP thinks.
Mm-hmm.
When did cooking become feminine?
I don't know. Well, it was.
It was.
I guess in the 50s and 60s, you know, that's as far as back as we go.
Yeah.
You know, women stayed in the kitchen, and maybe guys didn't cook a lot back then. But even then, dude,
this is what I think's feminine.
Right.
Is like pastry baking. I think that would be considered more feminine, but
baking.
Baking. But in terms of cooking, I don't think, I think that's both guy and girl.
I get kind of sized for baking.
I know. I've been watching the British Bake Off thing.
I get sized for all those baking shows on Netflix.
I told you about Jürgen. Jürgen's my man.
Jürgen Klinsmann?
No, not the soccer coach.
Okay.
I don't know his last name. He's German. All right. He's a physicist. All right. So he does is he measures the flour to a T. He knows every ounce of flour that goes into his German chocolate cake.
What happens if we have what happens if later this spring we have the Junkies Bake Off?
I would love it.
Or a bake sale.
Oh, Junkies Bake Sale.
And then we have salespeople come in here and buy
Yes.
our brownies and cookies. Our brookie is JP can make a brookie.
How many times is EB going to go, I'm baking a brownie?
Well, an old school bake sale. I kind of like that.
I know. So do I.
And we take it outside to the street.
And the construction workers buy all our cookies.
Yes. And then we see who makes the most money at the end of the day.
It's kind of like The Apprentice meets British Bake Off.
Hey, you know what? It is like The Apprentice. I miss The Apprentice, man. Know, that was a good show. Good show.
Yeah, tell Donald to get back in the studio.
So the dip off. Next up, we have the pepperoni dip coming.
Pepperoni that's going to be next week, right?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it. EB's been hyping.
It's a lot of hype. See, what EB doesn't understand is that my mom, and I've been keeping this close to the vest.
All right, you going to let the biddies know?
Yeah, I'm going to let the biddies know. My mom makes the best pizza dip in the world. I mean, it is so good. And Eric is like telling me about his, and like he thinks like I don't know what pizza dip is. My mom makes the best, the absolute best pizza dip.
Wait, when EB, when Tailgate Ted brings his oven by, and EB is heating up his...
I need to bring in my mom.
You bring in mommy's pepperoni dip side by side, okay?
Side by side.
And we have a side by side taste off.
EB would be crestfallen.
Unless he might be sized because he might pummel yours.
No, no, no. My mom uses like chunks of real pepperoni. Like she doesn't take those crappy Hormel things, slices.
Yeah.
Like
where she gets like a big stick of pepperoni and chops it up herself.
Yeah, big stick. So there's chunks and everything. And she uses the high grade marinara. And we know Eric uses ragu.
Yeah. So. Hey, until earlier this week, I'd never heard of pepperoni dip.
Oh, pizza dip, pepperoni dip.
I had never heard of it. I don't even know. Like now everyone's talking about it like it's a regular thing. Like it's sort of ranch dip that's around it all over the place. I've never seen it, never tasted it, never heard of it.
Yeah, but my mom's is it's top tier, and I didn't want to say that.
Do it.
I don't want to bust Eric's bubble. Hey, I know how excited he is.
When he gets ready to slide that pepperoni dip in the oven,
I had mine.
Yeah, wait, leave that open, and then you slide yours in there. Okay. Yeah.
And he's like, that's not fair. Not fair. And also, it's about bread choice too.
Oh, again, I'm down on your bread choices. You told me soft baguette for crab dip. I preferred Tostitos.
Okay.
But
to each his own.
To each his own. Yeah, you're right.
But this, my mom will put like olive oil and garlic and toast it on the bread slices, the individual bread slices. It's so good.
Hey, you know what was funny about today? It was briefly touched on. Is that Sam Weiner? He's this hotshot sales guy here, the top sales guy.
I mean,
again, a walking millionaire.
I mean, money
gotta be right.
Money falls out of his pockets when he walks around the station.
And the way you become a top sales guy is you got the gift of gab, and you're a BSer, right?
Yeah, when you think a sales guy, you think of someone on a used car lot being able to sell ice or was it self. Fire and hell,
right?
Whatever the cliche is.
Ice, you could sell
ice to an Eskimo.
Ice to an Eskimo, yeah. So you see Sam around the radio station, and he's shooting from the hip all the time.
Oh yeah, by the way, he's never shy when he's
never
walking
shy.
Around.
Yeah, he's
screaming down the hall. Hey, how about them Ravens?
Exactly. And then when he sees that red light go on. On air, he starts getting choking up and getting dry mouth. Can't finish his sentences.
He's got shaky voice.
Shaky voice. It happens to the best of them. Right? I got a kick out of that today.
It made me happy because it goes to show that not everyone's meant to be behind the mic.
Or just take some practice to get comfortable. Even if you got a lot of confidence off air.
I think he was mostly nervous because he didn't want his wife to be offended by the scores.
Also, I need to put this out here right now.
You got to stop dragging your wife.
Stop dragging your wife into it to protect her, the family recipe or whatever. Yes. If you bring in a dip.
You got to put your nuts on the line and claim it.
If EB brings in the pepperoni dip that D slaved over all night. It deserves a fair review.
Right. Don't say Mrs. Bickle made this recipe and then all of a sudden we feel awful if we trash it.
And that's why EB, I think you have to throw his score out of the 9 on the shrimp dip out because he said before he tried it, I'm not going to crush this. I see Heather Weiner all the time. And then he gave it a 9.
It was a predetermined score.
It was. It was a predetermined score. All right, so more to come on the dip on the dip off.
Let us know, by the way, if you're digging dip season.
Yeah, and you also have to bring in your crab dip for the other guys.
Oh, so I'm bringing in. Okay.
Well, they requested that.
Oh, of course. All right. Well, I'll bring it in sometime.
Also, if you're listening, tweet us some of your dip recipes, ideas or new ideas or something that you think. The guys would like. We can't bring in food from listeners. We tried that. We did. Kevin from Glory Days brought in a half-eaten cherry pie once.
He ruined that.
He ruined that.
Also, I'm into cold dips too. I do prefer hot dips, but I haven't had cold dips in a long time, and so that's why the shrimp dip was satisfying.
I need something hot and with some gooey hot cheese.
You want the top of the roof of your mouth to start peeling skin from it.
You know what?
So hot.
I want some Velveeta in my dip.
You know,
all right.
Well, you realize, in order to get any favor with cakes, it has to be cheeseless.
You know what? We can throw cakes to score out.
Cakes?
Yeah. How can
he's ruining everything?
I know.
Cakes' distaste for cheese is ruining dip season.
I guess it's to be expected going in. But warm dips better than cold dips. In my opinion,
I generally agree with you. But the cold is a nice little. Change up that I'm enjoying.
We got a little bit of attention this week on the show when the cakes found out that we were booking our own interviews on stealing interviews and as the junkies and booking them
identity theft
as the guys, but doing them for Bit Season or for ourselves. Actually, I gotta be honest with you. We did this interview with Alan Richson and Lee Child from Reacher on Amazon Prime, and we didn't even know if we didn't really have any plans to air it on Bit Season because we just wanted to talk to him ourselves.
we had a lot of questions for Alan.
We just wanted to build a connection with him.
Yeah, honestly, I just wanted to see him too. I was so happy it was on Zoom.
Yeah, it was on Zoom, so we got to see each other and.
You know the best part? The best part of the interview.
See him laugh at our zings.
I know. The best part of the interview was watching him laugh whenever we said something funny. I can tell that it wasn't a courtesy laugh. Yeah. I see Cakes doing courtesy laughs all the time.
We know a fake laugh.
Yeah,
we
know a fake laugh.
So it was the day after the Super Bowl, Valentine's Day, and we booked in. The interview was from 1 to 3 p.m. That was the time slot given to us.
Yeah, that's your window. And these things are, if you don't know, inside producer shtick. These things are like gangbangs. They're basically lined up with station after station to answer the same five questions over and over.
And it just makes me laugh because he probably like was doing a hit with Steve Chinigi right before us or some guy in New York or San Diego, some big TV station or something.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Morning Show.
And then he gets his next interview is connected to Valdez and I in some studio dungeon, barely lit.
And we had to do it through the computer. The mics didn't work.
Yeah, it was kind of a debacle. But
And it was our first interview too.
And it was our first interview, and I stand by that. Interviews are not fun. I gotta stop booking interviews for the junkies. I'm torturing them.
Well, this we said this before, is I don't understand how the junks are able to not watch a TV show or read a book or whatever the author or movie stars
watch a game
whatever they're promoting, and the junks don't watch it, have zero frame of reference, and are able to conduct an interview. Because we watched the entire season of Reacher and could barely fill 7 minutes of content.
Yeah, we only got 7 minutes with him, and the entire leading up to it, Valdez are like, what are we going to seriously ask this guy? Like, yeah, we could ask him to like take his shirt off or talk about weightlifting. Yeah,
tell me how much he benches.
Yeah, some stupid stuff, but how do you ask serious questions? Then we had to like do research and
no, that's not fun. Well, yeah. I had a list of questions.
All right. So we actually do want to play it for you guys. You can hear Valdez and I for about 6-7 minutes here talking to the star of Reacher and the creator of the author of the book series, starring Reacher.
Lee Child.
Lee Child, yeah. So here it is. Valdez and Drex.
First interview.
First interview, interviewing Alan Richson and Lee Child.
Hello, biddies. This is Matt Valdez. If you're interested in advertising with Bit Season, please contact Bit Season through their direct messaging on Instagram or Twitter. We appreciate all your support.
Welcome back to the Junkies, 106.7 The Fan, Washington, D.C. Right now, we are excited to be joined by Amazon's original series Reacher's lead star, Alan Richson, and executive producer and author of the Jack Reacher novels, Lee Child. Hey, what's up, guys? Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Alan, we were just talking about in here, we're feeling terrible about ourselves. And we said, there's no chance that Alan had nachos and crab dip last night for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Did you have a camera in my place right now? That's
did you pig out like us?
Yeah, there's no way Jack Reacher pigs out.
You know, no, here's the thing, guys. If you're bulking, you can eat whatever you want. I think that's the rule.
I've been bulking for 34 years.
Yeah, Alan, I watched 8 episodes. I didn't see Reacher work out one time. Ate a lot of Clark bars and beef jerky.
Hey, some people have the genetics. You know, you wake up in the morning, you stretch, and that's enough. You get on with your day, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. Did you think that, or did you have any idea Reacher was just going to be this huge overnight success, this instant hit going into the making of it?
You know, I thought, yeah, because I was really happy with every step of the way. I thought they were doing a great job. I thought it was really working. But what I love about show business, actually, you don't know. You've always got to wait until the audience has seen it. So in a way, yeah, I was expecting it because I believed in it, but it was so reassuring. And actually more than I could have thought. They just went mad for it. It was wonderful.
Alan, what do you think that this adaptation of Reacher made it so well received and bingeable at the same time. I mean, we finished the series in 24 hours, much like most people watching it.
I think the secret sauce is faithfully adapting Lee's books. I mean, it's no surprise, you know, it's no secret that he's sold 100 million plus copies. It's crossed just about every international border. People around the world universally love this character and the trouble that he finds. So we just want to adapt that faithfully, you know, to get his physicality right, to get the mystery, the thrills, the drama, the romance, and, you know, his sense of humor. I mean, it was important to me that this show be funny, you know, that this, that, right, that it not take itself too seriously. And that's, you know, I credit Nick Santora, who did an amazing job adapting this to screen, which is easier said than done. It all starts on the page, and Lee set us up. He teed us up for a home run here. So I give credit to him and Nick, who did a great job adapting it first and foremost.
Alan, I want to talk a little bit about your career. You kind of have the quintessential Hollywood journey where you're starting out, you know, doing modeling for Abercrombie and then American Idol. And then all of a sudden you're you're on TV series. And now you finally found that huge, huge hit with Reacher, it looks like. Can you talk about how you were able to go from that Abercrombie model to a television and film superstar?
I think superstar is not something I would credit myself as.
You're on the cusp. I'm telling you.
But I was an opportunist. I didn't see the modeling world as something that I really cared much for. I think it's a pretty brutal, fruitless industry. But it was how I survived at the time. Right. And I had some people around me that were able to set up auditions for people that were interested, and so. You know, I thought, like, why not try that also as another means of income? And I ended up, as you said, on a show that really opened a lot of doors in that world. But it wasn't until several years into, you know, I had already had a show, Blue Mountain State, which mm-hmm. was sort of an iconic role in Thad Castle for a lot of fans. It was well after that show that I realized this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. And I better understand the craft, the artistry, the why behind why we do this. And so I was well into my career before I decided this is what I want to do. And then things started to shift and change, but I was just sort of a professional in the industry and have been for many years. Really, this is the first time ever that I've been a part of something that is just so much bigger than myself or my career. And I just happened to be riding, you know, on top of a wave that I had nothing to do with. So I'm really grateful for where I am and the preparation that my experience has given me for a moment like this. But really this, you know, Reacher he looms large. He's bigger than all of us, you know, so I'm just one small part of that.
Absolutely. Lee, we got 26 books and counting to choose from here in Reacher. And congratulations to you guys with season 2 being announced. We're super excited. Do you want to stay in order or are we going to bounce around a little bit? I know there's prequels as well. Where would you like to see season 2 go?
You know, we only just got renewed, so we haven't had those conversations yet. So
you're too busy still partying.
And figure it out. But, you know, I'm just going to say two things. We chose Alan because of Abercrombie. It's like Sean Connery. He was a model.
Do you still wear the Fierce, Alan?
We love the Fierce cologne.
Yeah, I still spray. Yeah. It reminds me of 2004.
That was a secret.
Reacher works out all the time. He doesn't hit the gym, but he hits the bad guys. That's where he gets his exercise.
I have a question. How does Reacher find, the character Reacher, find the most perfectly fitting tees in a town like Margrave? Because I can barely find a shirt that covers up my man boobs. So I'm wondering how someone like you, Alan, and how Jack Reacher can find those perfectly sculpted Hanes tees. Yeah. It's definitely not fair.
Thrift store. I don't know how much time you guys have spent in thrift shops, but it's tough to find some triple X's. So if you're always two sizes too small, you're going to look ripped. And
my co-host wears a triple X too.
we got the same body, Alan.
Okay,
yeah. Well, hey guys, thanks so much for your time and congratulations on the massive success of season 1. And we're looking forward to season 2. Big fans over here in DC.
Yeah, we love it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. You know how I describe it to my buddies? As I say, you guys are going to love it. It's action-packed. It's high-paced. It's funny. It makes you think there's a mystery. And then when their wives say, I don't know if that's for me, I show them a picture of Alan. And then they say, that's for me.
Yes, back to the Abercrombie. It was a smart move. They plucked me out of obscurity, and it was good. It worked.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. We're looking forward to season two.
Thanks again. Glad you enjoyed it.
All right, there you have it. That's our first interview. It was somewhat homoerotic.
Like I said on the junks, there's a 20% chance that Alan Richson thinks I'm gay.
I'm hoping that he forgot about us about 10 seconds after that interview, which he probably did.
I was going to say, do you think after they got done their gangbang that Alan thought about us at all?
No. He probably said, thank God I don't have to talk to anyone else today.
About my abs.
Yeah, let me go eat. Hey, let me go work out.
Hey, how many cigs do you think Lee was puffing on during that?
Oh, yeah.
You don't realize this, but in the video, Lee was smoking about 20 Newports.
I'd never seen that before in all my years of doing interviews. Some guy take a puff of a cigarette in his own house. He's in his bedroom.
Can you imagine how awful that carpet smells?
You know what I was thinking? I was like, if this guy can't go a few minutes, 7 minutes without taking a drag of a cigarette, how many cigs is he smoking a day?
He's a two-pack a day.
He's got to be.
I take the over.
All right, so you guys know that we like Reacher. I don't want to talk any more about TV shows.
We've bored you enough with Reacher. We love it. We find Alan Richson hot.
There was more TV talk today on the Junkies. We got to get away from that. Just reviewing TV shows. It's my fault. I put something about the Tinder swindler in the rundown, and then the guys just start talking about TV shows that each other should watch. We're going to take a break from that. But we appreciate you guys listening to it. All right, but who's next? Who's next on our dream interview list, Valdez?
That's a great question. No sports.
I think it's got to be a nostalgia play. So maybe
Let's see. What have we talked about recently on Bit Season? I'm trying to remember some of the episodes. I don't really remember.
You know what? I can't remember.
You know, AWOD.
AWOD, that's our next big interview?
Yeah, that's our next big interview.
We got to get Eric in here. Eric would have a good time.
I think he would too. I'm pretty sure he stopped listening.
What you know what, Eric, if you're still listening, let us know. Otherwise, we're not going to ask you about it. What did you think about Eric this week taking shots at LeBron and all the celebrities he hates at the Super Bowl?
It was weird. LeBron wasn't dressed so ostentatiously or anything.
It was like pent up aggression. So EB is out of nowhere this week during the entertainment page. He starts listing off all the celebrities that he hates at the Super Bowl. For some reason, he had a problem with not just LeBron and J-Lo, who I thought were fine.
Well,
he hated Charlize Theron for some reason.
So I didn't understand. What was he mad about? Because they were dressed normal, right? J-Lo had wraparound glasses on. It wasn't that big of a deal. She looked normal.
Well, I don't understand.
I didn't think they looked abnormal.
I don't understand. Is J-Lo going to go to a Super Bowl dressed in a t-shirt? That's the dumbest thing.
Like a jersey?
Because Matt Damon was weird. Matt Damon was wearing like a, I don't know, some weird t-shirt that he was, Nate, royal blue t-shirt that had some saying on it. So EB wants everyone to wear a t-shirt or has Ben Affleck ever been photographed not wearing a sweater?
By the way, this is what EB doesn't understand, that it's not just a football game.
Yeah.
It's the Super Bowl.
It's
like going to the Grammys. You don't wear your Nubs Old Navy outfit to the Grammys.
Plus, they're in suites. They know they're going to be on TV. You have to dress up. You have to look... like, put some style together. It's J-Lo, one of the top pop stars on the... She performed last year in the Super Bowl.
It's effing J-Lo.
Right? She's not going to be dressed down wearing sweatpants.
These are mega stars. Mega stars don't wear what we wear.
Not only that, to actually have an opinion on it, right, is what was funny to me. Like, he was so angry about it. And just
how old's LeBron? What is he?
LeBron's a couple years younger than he's between us. He's 36, I think.
All right. So when Eric was 36, what was he wearing? And this
what is Eric wearing now?
And that's part of the problem is that Eric is criticizing LeBron's outfit, his piece, and while wearing the same Nationals. I don't care about sweatpants. Right. I don't care about a hoodie. And wearing your slides into work. Mm. Okay, I get it. You wake up early in the morning. But Eric wears the same damn Nationals hat every effing day in here.
I know.
And right? And he has the gall to criticize LeBron's outfit.
Again, LeBron's outfit wasn't even that bad. He was wearing like a Cuban dress shirt or something with a little bit of flair
on
it.
It looked like a button up. Like
it was just a short sleeve button up.
And then this is what I'm not gonna criticize is that I think some of the stuff that like Kuzma wears is weird. Yes, I do.
Right.
But I'm in no position to criticize high fashion because I don't understand.
We don't understand it. It's above our head. We're not in that scene.
I'm not in that world. I don't know what's hot. I don't know what's trending. I don't know what's cool.
These guys all have personal stylists. There, you know, people look what LeBron wears. Look, Jay-Z single-handedly got guys stop wearing jerseys 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
He said the jerseys are dead. I'm wearing a suit. And then within a week, nobody was buying throwback jerseys anymore or wearing jerseys. Everybody was dressing. The guys were starting to dress up again. If those guys start wearing baggy clothes again or baggy jeans. Baggy jeans will be back, and Nuthugger or joggers or whatever will be out. Here,
let me ask you a question. Yeah. Let's say Odyssey is sending us to the Super Bowl for Radio Row,
yeah.
And for some reason Odyssey, because the Junks have great ratings or pulling in great revenue, we have passes for a suite for the Super Bowl. Okay,
yeah.
What would you try and wear in that suite? You're not going to wear your Nubs jeans and jacket.
I'm going to buy a brand new dress shirt, maybe a flat brimmed hat to go with it with some sort of sports logo on it.
All right. You're going to be like Rob Lowe and have the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I try to have a little bit of class and a little bit of swag.
Exactly. Right? You're gonna go out on Rodeo and see if you can.
Well, Rodeo, no. But I might go to like some factory outlet in Anaheim.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that you're going to try and put together something silly.
Of course. Of course.
Because you're doing the sweet life.
Because 100 million people are watching on television.
Exactly. You're walking around and someone's going to think you're some swinging dick going into your suite.
But it did make me laugh. I got to be him ranting and raving about
something so stupid and minuscule as that outfit.
What didn't make us laugh was Lurch and him confessing this week on the show, not even confessing, him lying this week on the show that he never loved Ellen.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Where did that come from and why? What is going on here? Does he think we're stupid? Does he think everyone listening is stupid and brain dead and we don't remember?
Here, I want you to listen. This is Jason talking about Ellen this week. And then also, here's a clip of Jason talking about Ellen in 2012.
Ellen gets on my nerves.
She's a mark for Ellen.
I never was a mark for Ellen.
You talk about Ellen all the time.
All right, find audio where I said I love Ellen DeGeneres.
You say, oh, she's pretty funny.
I don't think I've watched 5 minutes of Ellen my whole life. Thank you, Jesus.
Ellen's hysterical. Right. Ellen's the funniest woman on the planet. Right.
He'll watch like the Waste Management Open, and he'll watch
Who's
Ellen.
Who's funnier than Ellen?
I don't find her funny.
But this is what I don't understand, is Jason doesn't realize that him liking Ellen is a running bit on the show.
Yeah, it's
a running bit.
It's
you're the sports guy.
It's like Cakes having short dong or Drab having man boobs. It's like one of the things he's known for.
Valdez's accent.
By the way, you could have found clips from 2012 through 2020 of Jason hyping up Ellen.
Yeah, his distaste of Ellen came basically this last year,
years? When the story came out about mistreating people.
But that's not the reason why, Jason.
But why? I actually don't know why. I can't figure it out.
I don't know either.
Didn't he go to L.A.? Or didn't he say it was his... They wanted to go to L.A. to watch Ellen in person?
Didn't his wife and daughters go see Ellen?
Well, maybe they did, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Jason did, but...
But he always hyped her up and watched the show. It was a thing. Every day at 4 o'clock, Jason's watching Ellen.
And before Ellen, Rosie. It was Rosie. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
He got sized when she shot the koosh balls into the crowd.
What does he think? He thinks everyone's stupid, I think.
Maybe? Does he
it's like when he makes a bet and says he's not going to pay up. He just doesn't care.
What is it? Does he not care, or is he just trying to rewrite history? Does
he realize, probably rewriting history.
Does he realize that liking Ellen is, I don't know, something that you can make fun of? Or is he just so bro-y sports that he doesn't want his Ellen past to shine through the show?
I don't even think it's political, because I don't think Ellen's overly political.
I don't think she's,
I mean, I'm sure she, I don't even know what Jason thinks half the time. But that's the most reason why people just like stop liking someone. I mean, Ellen's hardly been in the news at all the last year. Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
you haven't heard anything ever since
she announced this was like the final season or something like that.
I don't know.
So aggressive. It was like EB hating J-Lo.
I hate Ellen.
I hate Ellen.
No, you don't.
What? He should have said, guys, I gotta tell you something. I've loved Ellen for the last 10 years. I've talked about on the show all the times I'm watching the show. Something's changed. I can't stand her.
I don't know.
Now.
I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But whenever she dances, I want to puke.
Why didn't he just say that?
Right?
Right? That'd be like me saying, you know what? I hate Leo DiCaprio.
or me going, the Ravens suck.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lamar will never win a thing. I don't understand.
So.
Yeah, I know. It was very aggro.
Yeah, it was, man. More to find out about that one. Next time she comes up, we'll have to dig into him some more.
Yeah, because he seemed very angry about it, so I didn't really want to dig.
Yeah.
Like his tone.
He was very dismissive about it.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a running bit on the show.
That was a strange one. We've known, guys, we've known these guys for
over a decade.
15 years probably each or so. We still can't figure him out. That's one of the weirdest things that's ever happened in the history of the show, of him just trying to pretend like something didn't happen. I don't know. Hopefully we get an update.
Very weird.
At some point. One of the things this week that got you excited, and I think I know what it is now, 3 days this week, you're in a bad mood, and maybe it wasn't bit season that turned you around today. Maybe it's the thought of creating your own Wordle.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, my brain has been firing from all cylinders trying to come up with the Junkies Wordle game.
So EB mentioned, what's the geography B one?
Worldle.
Worldle?
That's a mouthful.
First of all, I'm psyched to try that out after the show, because
I'm a geography buff.
I'm a geography buff.
Valdez, I
went to the finals in sixth grade of my school geography.
Minored in geography at Maryland.
I need to see that.
All right, pull up my transcript.
You minored in geography?
Yes, you want to know why? Because what? I took so many ENI classes. My brother told me about Professor ENI.
First of all, hold on. Geography is not a major.
I know. I minored.
It's not. You can't minor in geography.
I minored in geography. Pull up my transcript.
Is that world history? I don't understand.
I'm gonna explain. Okay. My brother told me about ENI, Professor ENI.
Okay.
All right. And he told me, because my brother is a Maryland grad, and he said, you got whatever you do, take as many ENI classes as possible.
What is ENI?
Okay, he's the professor.
Oh,
I said, well,
professor.
And I said, well, why? He says, because he's easy ENI. What do you mean easy ENI?
That's intriguing.
I go, what do you mean easy ENI? He says, you have two tests. You have a final and you have a midterm. And the class before each, he goes over the test and gives you the answers. So I took so many ENI classes in my college career at the University of Maryland that I ended up with a minor in geography.
You know what? I think I took a geography class.
So by the way, these classes was called Maryland and Adjacent Areas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
World Geography. And I think there was another easy one. But
why does it say, I don't get them confused, but now I think I'm remembering, because, it sounds stupid, but I think my geography class at Arizona State, we studied, it was all about weather and like floods and, of course, some rock study, but it wasn't geology. I'm telling you, I think it was geography.
That goes under the geography umbrella.
It could get a little confusing.
Right.
And I remember it because we always, on Fridays, we studied the weather patterns to make our bets on Saturday for the college football games. And wherever it was raining, we bet he told us to bet the unders.
Yeah. Well, so you had separate geology classes too? Because at Maryland,
I think so, there is. At
Maryland, geology, like 100 or 101, was called Rocks for Jocks.
Rocks for Jocks?
Yeah, because Sam Hollenbach, the quarterback, would be in there sleeping and get an A.
But when I think of the geography B, it's questions about like world history or like where certain groups of people lived and stuff like that.
Oh. Yeah, yes, they do. They do that.
All right.
It's not just knowing the capital of Wyoming. Cheyenne. I know you're thinking of it.
Well, it takes me. It's been a while. I would have got it in a minute here.
Well, I know. Do you know why I know all the capitals of the United States?
Because you graduated second grade.
Well, in second grade, I wasn't a very good student when I was younger.
Oh, that's not surprising.
All right. I was kind of a troublemaker.
All right.
And in social studies, I think I had like a C or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But on the final exam, the last test of the semester, the teacher said, well, you had to had the map of the United States and you had to write all the states in there. You had to name all the states. And you got extra credit if you could name the capitals. And I was doing so poorly that my parents forced me to memorize all the capitals so that I could get 50 points of extra credit.
and it stuck with you all these years.
It's Montpelier.
And didn't we do this on the Junkies one time? We asked them all the capitals.
I don't know. I just get sized. I
know you're flexing your elementary school knowledge here. Did you ever are you smarter than this fifth grader?
No, but it made me feel stupid whenever I got them wrong.
I was like, show the butt hard.
I know.
Show the butt hard. I don't think those were fifth grade questions. I think those were genius kids.
You ever look back at algebra questions from like the seventh grade?
I can never do that.
Butt hard.
I'm telling you, at ASU, okay.
Well, buckle up.
I started in algebra 117 or something like that, right?
Okay. Whoa, very low.
And I failed it as a broadcasting major. So
why did you have to take any math classes?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I got bumped down to like algebra 96. Okay, the lowest accredited math course at Arizona State University, and I had to take it twice. And I think the second time I got a C.
Hey, C's earned degrees.
Hey, it's not my strong suit.
I bet you the chicks were hot in that class.
So hot. So the chicks were hot. Smoking hot.
How many sorority girls were in that class?
It's embarrassing. That's actually my most embarrassing. I think my first year at ASU, I got my GPA was like a 1.
Yeah, I bet you there are a billion potheads in that class.
So many dummies. That was one of them. Now later on, I made up for it in my other classes. But God, until I got past the math thing, my GPA was a show.
Do you even remember what your GPA was when you graduated?
It was close to. It was at a 3.0, which I'm actually happy because
a
after
3.0,
I think that after the first 2 years, I had a 1.8. And then I got near a 4.0 nearly the last 2 years.
What?
Or whatever it was.
Why was
3.5, 4.0.
Why was it so bad the first 2 years?
Were
you too much partying?
Not a lot of studying. A lot of Coors Light. You know, what do most kids do when they get to college?
Yeah, but you can squeak by and at least get C's while you're killing your brain cells.
It wasn't a priority.
Okay.
You know, I think it was
It
was always a surprise at the end of the semester what my grade was. I thought I was always doing better than I was.
Well, I will defend you because I will say Arizona State is probably more next level than Maryland partying. So
thank you.
So maybe it's a little more intense over there. Maybe there's a little more sleeping in on your 10 a.m. classes.
They're just
Arizona State. Did your Father Cahill mad at you?
Well, I realized that this is after my sophomore year where I think I got a D in Spanish. I realized I had to retake Spanish 201 or something.
How many classes did you have to retake? You know, I mean,
it happened a few times.
The over under four.
Yeah, probably push. I remember retaking Spanish.
Hey, were you a super senior?
I was. It took me 4.5 years to graduate. But I'm telling you, the light bulb went off after my second year, because I'm sitting in summer school, and I just murdered it after that. I suddenly matured. I started taking it seriously, and then I was taking hard, because then they were upper level classes. Right. I started getting A's all over the place.
That happened to me when I was in sixth grade. So after elementary school, all my friends got put, because you get put into the smart, dumb, or middle like classes.
Yeah.
Like level 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
So all of my friends got sent to level 1.
Is that the dumb or smart?
No, that's the smart.
Okay.
Level 1 is like the smart.
Yeah.
So all of my friends that I played soccer with and basketball with on all the teams and hung out, and my neighbors and ride bikes with, they got all put in the smart classes. Old Valdezzi got put in the dumb classes.
All right. The threes.
And I'm watching all my friends high-fiving in the class next to me. And I'm saying, man, I got to go get with them. So I made sure that I got smart, and that's when my light bulb switched over.
Better to have your light bulb go off in sixth grade than your third year of college.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then by the time I got accepted into Maryland, I stopped going to class.
It is always interesting, because you can have kids that are like valedictorians, right? And then they get to college and they just totally bomb out. Or you definitely could have, guys that just get by all their life and
graduate. Well, that was me. Is that I was stupid, then I got smart, then I got tired of killing myself, and then when I got to college, I just kind of coasted by. Got my 2.8. and walk the stage, and then
here's the thing about college, at least for me: if you apply yourself at all, it's pretty ridiculously easy.
It's butt easy.
It's so easy. You literally just have to take it.
There's 10 million corners you can cut.
You can cut corners. You could cheat if you wanted to. You could, I'm sure this with everything online and just passing stuff around, but you really just. Oh, I skip classes all the time. That was a huge thing. I skip classes. You know the hardest class I took at Arizona State?
Bowling.
Swimming. I think I've told you that before. But hard. First day of class, I thought we were going to be playing water polo every day.
You're Greg Louganis.
And jumping off the high dive. That's literally what I thought it was. And then I get there swimming 205, and I got the body like a slug, and everyone in the class was on varsity swim team in high school, all right? And she goes, all right.
Cahill.
Everybody in the pool, 10-minute warm-up. Ten-minute warm-up for swimming laps. At the end of the warm-up, I was puking in a garbage can in front of everybody. So for the first week, I spent all my time puking in a trash can. And then by the end of the semester, I'd never looked better.
Yeah, the best body in the world.
Best body of my life. I was wearing cutoff sleeves, Jordan jerseys, showing my muscles.
You had veins ripping through your body.
No, I just wasn't tubby. And for me, that was a statement.
But anyway, sorry, we got sidetracked.
We did. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the geography worldle.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Oh, so, that's right. Yeah.
So we came up with, because the Junks, and you brought this up, the Junks have a billion games that they play.
They do.
All right? I mean, it's
they're mostly JP's babies. He's got the whole list of a game we could play at any day.
But I feel like our favorite game not only is Dead or Alive, maybe Who Am I, but this one I feel like has the best potential to be a Wordle type game.
Hey, Dead or Alive is another great Wordle game. right? See what your streak is without looking.
You know how ESPN used to do like that break for cash or whatever, and you'd have your streak for cash?
Yeah.
You do the same thing.
All right, it pops up every day. There's a new celebrity.
Like a Snapchat streak. So it pops up, and it says, Linda Tripp, Dead or Alive.
All right.
right. And then you know what it should do is it should lock your screen until you answer, so you can't Google it.
I like it.
Right.
I mean, you could Google it on a laptop next to you. People are going to cheat if they want.
Okay, but at least we're discouraging cheaters.
And then you share your streak on social media of how many dead celebrities in a row you got right.
All right, that's a good one.
I love it.
All right, but missing link, I feel like, is going to be the holy grail.
Okay.
All right.
And, sell me on it.
Okay. So we have Trivial Pursuit type categories. You have literature, sports.
Arts and entertainment.
Arts and entertainment, history, geography and history.
Okay.
You have these different categories. And you can play these, and you can play each category if you want, all five of them. So there's five different Wordles that'll come up, one in sports, one in arts and entertainment, and whatever.
Okay.
And what you do is you are given the missing link. So it'll be, think of a sports.
All right, how about we do history?
All right, okay. History.
Thomas Blank Davis.
All right. So obviously you would type in Jefferson.
Right. All right. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would type that in.
Now, those are both history people, but they wouldn't necessarily both have to be history.
Correct.
Right.
So as the Wordle comes up for missing link, there's a timer. All right. And you type in Jefferson. And then after you lock in, it lets you know if you're right or wrong and your final time. You get to post that time to Twitter, like a Wordle.
No, how long it takes you.
Yeah.
So the brag is, so the is brag how quickly is, you get
so
it.
So the brag is how quickly you can get it and your streak.
I like that. I like it a lot.
Do you have to do your average time?
Yeah. Do you have to do all the different categories every day?
No. You can just do your category.
Right.
You can do whatever. Because, you know, some people aren't sports people.
Right.
So, you know, they want to do history. Other people don't know anything about literature.
I think you're onto something. Several, I mean, like, how many famous people in history can an average Joe know?
I don't know.
200?
I mean, it doesn't have to be. It can be places.
That's true. It doesn't have to be just people. Dead or Alive, a little easier to pull off on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think Missing Link has more... legs. It's not just doing one or the other.
Right. Could be like...
There should be a whole Junkies app with all these games in them.
Oh, now we're on to something.
You have a billion games in one app.
I think the New York Times has that. Like, if you go to the New York Times website and click on games, that's where the Wordle thing is, but they have a bunch of different games.
They have Sudokus and crosswords.
Yeah, a bunch of different games that you can play. I dig it. Let's call our guy who develops software apps. It's called Rohit. Ask him to put it together for us.
All right, nobody steal our idea, by the way.
Yeah, please
don't be a jerk and steal our idea.
Those are Junkies trademarked.
They are.
We got Rom.
Yeah, Rom.
Rom is on it.
Yeah, Rom, can you get a patent on that, please? Yeah. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening this week. A great week of shows. And we're going to turn it up on Friday. We got Ari Spears coming in studio tomorrow. I'm excited about that. It is season.
Bit season means comedian season. So I'm excited for all the comedians coming in.
Yeah. And Valdez and I, we're going to book some of those comedians here. We got some good ones on the list that I'm pretty excited about. Not every week, but a lot of the time, I think we'll try to have comedians come in. All right, everybody. Well, have a great week. And thank you for listening to Bit Season. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.